That song goes a lot with our theme on hope, doesn't it? That we've been covering Sunday nights. And so I'm going to ask you to turn with me back in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 as we continue our look at our blessed hope as Christians. 1 Peter chapter 3. Just to revisit some of the places that we've been already in this series, we've already looked at the person of our hope, who is, of course, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that Andrew just sang about. We've also looked at the power of our hope, which really is the power of Christ. The power of our hope is the power of Christ that is given to us in the form of His promises to His people. A few of them that we looked at already. His promise and power to give us rest when we are weary. His promise and power to give us strength when we are weak. His promise and power to give us peace when we are worried. And many other promises that empower us and fuel our lives as we seek to serve Him in this world. Last Sunday night, we looked at the properties of our hope. That is, what kind of hope does the Lord offer us? We looked at a few. Our hope is a lively hope because Jesus Himself is living. Our hope is a better hope because Jesus Himself is excellent. Our hope is an everlasting hope because Jesus Himself is eternal. So what Jesus is, our hope is. You want to know what your hope is like? Look to Christ. Our hope in Christ is linked to the life of Christ. Well, the hope that we have as Christians, as we've already seen, is a great hope. It's in a great person. It has great power. It has great properties. And with such a great hope, what now are you and I as Christians to do with it? What do we do with this hope? Well, of course, first and foremost, we need to possess it. It needs to be our hope. It needs to be something that we believe. It's something that we need to look forward to. We need to personally possess this hope in Christ. But once it belongs to you, because you're trusting in and following the Lord Jesus, what are you now to do with the hope that you have? What is the purpose of our blessed hope? Well, that brings us to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And as we're going to see from this verse and some around it, the purpose of our hope, very simply, is to share it. It's to share it. It's to possess it, yes. You can't share something if you don't have it, but then you need to share it. To introduce it. To share it with others who are in need of this kind of hope. Just as we needed hope, and even as someone shared it with us. We were just spending some time praying for some needs of people that you know. And think of those who are in desperate need of hope tonight. We think of the friend and the family of this friend of Bailey's. We think of the gentleman that Diana works with, whose father is suffering from cancer. We think of people that are in hopeless situations and hopeless conditions. What can they do? We need to give them our hope. That's the purpose of our hope, is to keep it for ourselves. And that's it. No, we need to share it. We need to share it. Peter writes it this way in 1 Peter 3:15, our primary text for tonight. Says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of what? The hope. A reason of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. This is the purpose of our hope. This is what we're to do with our hope in Christ. So once we have it, we need to share it. Now the context of this verse deals primarily with suffering. And we see that in the verse just prior. In verse 14, Peter says, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, he's really assuming that you're going to. He's going to assume that as a Christian, you're going to suffer for just serving God, for doing what's right. But he says, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. This suffering that Peter is describing is the suffering from persecution. But it certainly can apply to what we are to do with our hope, no matter what circumstance we're going through in our lives. Even if we don't go through the same kind of suffering and persecution that Peter mentions here in this verse. really, aren't we always in some way or another suffering? The Bible even says that the creation itself is groaning, groaning for its own redemption. And isn't that the case of our own souls? Our own Christian souls experience suffering in many ways. It may not be straight out persecution like our brothers and sisters in lands where they are unwanted, like the Middle East or North Korea or even China, other places where they experience real physical suffering and persecution. But we do face suffering in our lives as believers. We face suffering from the world in which we live that still despises God. We face suffering from our own flesh, which still is drawn to sin. We face suffering even from the devil himself. And so this certainly applies to us. The purpose of our hope, even when we're going through suffering, even when we're going through persecution, is to share it and to be a witness for it. And this verse describes the kind of witness that we are to be. The first thing that we see in verse 14 is the confidence of our witness. The confidence of our witness. Verse 14 again reminds us, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So Peter here in this verse, before he even says that you need to share your hope, he tells us that whenever we experience persecution for our relationship with Christ, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be troubled. Instead, we can be what? According to that verse. Happy. Happy are ye if you're suffering for righteousness' sake. Now, when you first hear that, or you first read this, we think, Peter, are you nuts? Are you crazy? How can anyone be happy when they are suffering? Let alone if they are suffering for believing the truth and doing what's right. We think that's just a travesty. But Peter was one who was speaking from experience. Remember back in the book of Acts where the disciples, after they had gathered with Jesus there on the mountaintop and they saw him ascend into heaven, right out of their sight. And the angel came and said to them, "What are you standing here, disciples? This same Jesus who you saw going into heaven is going to come back in the same way." And they said, "No, do what Jesus said." And so, of course, they gathered together. And eventually, after the Holy Spirit came and gave them power and anointed them, they started to spread out. And wherever they went sharing the gospel, they were suffering. They were persecuted. People did not like to hear that they were sinners in need of a Savior. They thought they had everything together, especially the Jews and the religious leaders of that day. Well, when Peter and some of the other apostles were brought before one of those councils, those religious councils, because of their preaching of Christ, it says in Acts 5 that the council beat them and they wanted to kill them simply because they were preaching the gospel of Christ. But after that time where they were beaten, in Acts 5:41, it says that they, and it includes Peter, that they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. He was happy about it. He was rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer and be persecuted for Jesus Christ. And so when you think about what happened to Peter, and not just there, but other places in the book of Acts, and you think about even the legacy of Peter and how many believe that he was one who was martyred and hung upside down on a cross. And we think of all that he went through, and then he comes and says, "If you suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be afraid, don't be troubled, instead, be happy. Happy are ye." So what is Peter doing here? Peter is reminding us that our happiness depends not on our circumstances or our happenstance, but it depends on our confidence in the Lord. Our confidence in the Lord, who is the one who is permitting this to happen in the first place. He is allowing this suffering to go on in our lives according to his plan and for his own purpose. So whenever we witness, especially when we're going through times of persecution and suffering, we can be confident in the Lord and happy in him. So when you are to witness, Don't worry about what people think about you. Don't worry about what people are going to say about you. Don't worry about how people are going to treat you or mistreat you. Why? Because our confidence is in the Lord. And He is the one who is going to help us through it. We can be confident in His love for us. The Bible says in Romans that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ if you're a child of His. So you can be confident. You can be confident in His protection. You can be confident in His power and in so many other of God's attributes. So whenever you are called to witness or to share your hope, you do not need to be afraid or troubled. Why? Because your confidence and hope is still in the Lord. Be confident when you share your hope in the Lord. Be confident when you share your faith with others, because that's the purpose of your hope, to share it. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled. Be happy no matter what people say or think about you, and just keep sharing. But then the second thing that we see in our primary text there in verse 15 is the commitment in our witness. The commitment in our witness. Instead of being afraid, instead of being troubled, he says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The word sanctify in this verse is closely related to the word holiness. It's what God does to you and to me as Christians. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life when He is convicting you of sin and helping you to repent and confess it before Him. That is the sanctifying process. What is God doing in your life? He's making you more and more holy. He's making you more and more like Jesus. So this word sanctify is very closely related to the word holiness, which is one of God's primary attributes that we see in His Word. So what does this mean for a Christian to sanctify the Lord God in their hearts? And how is it related to sharing our hope with others? Well, for one thing, it does not mean that a Christian can make the Lord God more holy in your heart. It doesn't mean that we're sanctifying God the way that God sanctifies us. We can't make God holy. God is as holy now as He ever was and ever will be. He is a holy God. It is impossible for us to sanctify God to try to make Him more holy. He's as holy as He can be. In fact, His holiness can never depend on us and what we think about Him. So what does it mean? I like how Albert Barnes defines this term. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It means to esteem God as a holy being. You're not making God holy. You're just recognizing that He's holy. You're esteeming that He is holy. And furthermore, in all our deportment, in other words, in how you live, in what you think, what you do, how you act, and in all our deportment, to act toward Him as such, as a holy being. That's what it means to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. It means you recognize that He is a holy God, and you're going to live your life as if He is a holy God. Which means you're going to commit your life to Him, because you need His sanctifying. You need His holiness. You need His continual work in your life. So it means that your confidence in the Lord will lead you to a greater commitment to the Lord. So whenever you are called upon to share your hope in the Lord, you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, when it's time for you to share your hope with others, you can be confident and committed to God, because He is the one that will help you. He is the one that will even many times give you the words to say. So we need to be confident in the Lord and be committed to the Lord whenever we're called to share our hope and our faith. Because that is the purpose of our hope. It's not to keep it to ourselves. It's to spread it, to share it with others. Third, verse 15, we see the content of our witness. After he says that you need to recognize this commitment to your holy God, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, he continues and says, and be ready always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. So when it comes to sharing our hope in Christ with others, this is the content of our witness. There needs to be three things. There needs to be a readiness when you witness. A readiness. We see this when Peter writes, be ready. How often? Always. Be always ready. This means that you aren't just, okay, I'm going to look around for opportunities. It means that you're prepared. You're really ready. A student, when they are taking a quiz or a test, you can come and anybody can take a test. I remember taking tests that I wasn't really prepared for. Anybody can take a test and, of course, you see the results of that. But to be prepared for it means that you come in there having studied the content, you know what it's about, and you're able to take it and do very well. When we are witnessing, we need to be ready always. That means to be prepared. I love what Charles Spurgeon once wrote in one of his discussions about certain passages. If you ever had a chance to look at some of his sermons, he has volumes of sermons that were written out. And what they used to do is they used to sell these printed out sermons after Sunday. They didn't have sermon audio back then. And so there would be transcribers in the front pews of Metropolitan Tabernacle there in London, and they would be writing out his messages as he's preaching them. And then Monday morning, he would look at the transcript, and he would see if he needed to make any edits. He would send it off to the publisher with his corrections, and they would actually distribute them all throughout London, all throughout the United Kingdom. Even many of them came over to the United States. They sold them, I think, for just a few pence. So very, very minimal expense. But at the end of many of his sermons, he would have an exposition. A lot of people aren't familiar with his commentary on much of the Bible, the New Testament. He wrote a great commentary on the book of Psalms called Treasury of David. He wrote a fantastic commentary on the book of Matthew. But he wrote comments on a lot of other passages as well. And this is one of them. And I wrote it down there on your message guide. When it says that we are to be ready always, he says it means this. You need to have your doctrinal views and all your knowledge of Christ packed away in a handy form so that when people want to know what you believe, you can tell them. I love how he says you need to have your knowledge of Christ packed away in a handy form. A handy form. It wasn't too long ago where Andrew and I were talking a few months ago about this evangelism explosion. And I think we looked at one of those books and what this particular evangelistic ministry does is they give you an outline of the gospel to memorize so that when you go out and share the gospel, you know all the different pieces of the puzzle that you ought to share with people. The idea is that we need to know the gospel so well that we have it packed away in a handy form, Spurgeon says, so that we can just tell them when they ask us the reason of the hope. When we're sharing the gospel, we've got to know what to say. Some of the tracts that we have back there are very, very helpful, very, very good. But sometimes it's not just the word that is printed on a page, it's the word that comes from your mouth that people need to hear. That is what God promises to bless, the preaching and the proclamation of His word. It's not just the preaching up here, but it's the proclamation out there, whether it's one by one, individual by individual, or even in a group, sharing the word of God. He continues, if they wish to know why you believe that you are saved, have your answer already in a few plain, simple sentences. How many of us could do that right now? How many of us have just a few sentences memorized that if someone asks us a reason, we're ready, we're prepared, we can just tell them about Christ? Sometimes it's just a few verses maybe we need to memorize. Maybe it's the Romans Road. But we've got to be ready. And he goes on, and in the gentlest and most modest spirit, make your confession of faith to the praise and glory of God. Who knows? Who knows? But what such good seed will bring forth an abundant harvest. Are you ready? Are you ready right now? Are you ready always to witness and share your hope? That is the purpose of your hope. It's not just to hang on to it yourself, but to share it and be ready. So yes, there needs to be a readiness when you witness. We also see in the content of our witness, there needs to be a reply when you witness. A reply. He says, be ready always to give an answer. An answer. That word answer literally means a defense. A defense of your hope and a defense of your faith in Christ. So it's not just enough to know what you believe. It's not just enough to know about the attributes of God, or that God is a Trinity, or that Jesus is God in the flesh. It's not just enough to know about these things. The Bible says even the devils know about God, and they tremble. You also need to be ready to share why you believe it. Why? This is a personal testimony. Why you needed a Savior. Why you're a sinner. How it's demonstrated in your life as well. One of the ministries that we use around here somewhat frequently is Answers in Genesis. Of course, they have the Creation Museum down in Cincinnati area, in Kentucky actually. And of course, now the Ark Encounter. We use them because they often help us with these kinds of biblically faithful answers or defenses. It's a ministry of apologetics. Do you have a defense for your faith? Can you give an answer? Do you have a reply when you witness and share your hope? You need to. Why? Because that is the purpose for our hope. But then there's another thing that we need, and that is, in the content of our witness, there needs to be a reason when you witness. He goes on there in verse 15 and says, be ready always, that's readiness, to give an answer, that's your reply, to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. There needs to be a reason. This can also be translated a word. When they ask a word of the hope that is in you, they just want to hear something. They want to hear something about your faith. They want to hear something about what you believe. They want to hear your even opinion about something. As I was reading Albert Barnes and his comments on this verse, I thought it was very interesting when he said, anyone has a right to respectfully ask you for a word about your relationship with God and your hope in Jesus Christ. We often think, oh no, my relationship with God, that's a personal thing. That's a personal matter. It's nobody else's business. And yet, the Bible teaches that, no, it is everybody's business. Why? Because the hope that God gave you is not a personal hope in that it only belongs to you. It's a hope that God has offered to everyone. So everyone has a right to respectfully ask you for a word about your hope. And we need to be ready. When they're asking you a reason of your hope, you ought to be able to tell them. It's not an intrusion. It's not an inconvenience. It's an opportunity. Now, of course, I fail at this many times, especially when someone comes knocking on the door. They say, hi, can we give you something to read? And it's a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon missionary. I can't be inconvenienced now. I've got to do something here, or I've got to work on my house or whatever. Truth is, they have a right to respectfully ask me a reason of the hope that is in me. Or I have the right to share with them. Not just the right, but the privilege and the responsibility to share with them a reason of the hope that is in me with meekness and fear. We need to have that word fit in due season to provide them, a word to give when we share that hope. That is the purpose for our hope, is to share it. But fourth, then we also see in this verse the character of our witness. There is a manner in which we do so, with meekness and fear, it says. With meekness and fear. We need to share our hope in the same way that Christ shared himself with us. Remember the kindness of Christ's witness to you? Perhaps it was through a message. Perhaps it was through the word of a friend or a family member. But the truth is, Christ himself spoke to each one of us through his word. And in the words of Ron from this morning's Sunday school, connected with us in our very souls. He's the one that did the work. He's the one that touched our hearts so it would feel strangely warm, in the words of Wesley. The kindness of Christ's witness to you and your spirit. Paul puts it this way in Titus 3:3-4. He says, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, how would you treat someone like that? You don't have anything to do with them. Or if you did, if you had to have some kind of relationship with them, you would be kind of haste with your words. You'd be harsh. You wouldn't want to be kind to them because they're certainly not going to be kind to you. But what did God do? What did Jesus do? After we were disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Remember the kindness of Christ to you personally. And then, reflect that kindness. Reflect that kindness in your witness and in your words. Remember Ephesians 4:15, it says, we are to be speaking the truth, how? In love. Yes, it's the truth, you don't compromise that, but you do so with meekness and fear and love. We need to have the character of Christ when we witness with meekness and fear. Because that is the purpose for our hope, to share it. To share it the way Christ shared it with us. But then we find in the next verse, we also see the conduct of our witness. It's not just the words that we say, it's the life that we live. He adds, having a good conscience. Have you ever felt pricked in your conscience that you didn't share your hope with someone else when you had the opportunity? I have. Why? Because I wasn't ready always. I wasn't ready. The opportunity presented itself, but I didn't take it. And so my conscience was pricked, and God was saying, hey, you could have taken this opportunity. You should have shared a reason of the hope that is in you. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The word conversation here simply means your lifestyle, your conduct in life. It's not just the words that you say, but the life you live. And what Peter is saying is, even those that are causing your suffering or causing persecution in your life, their mouths will be shut if your life presents your hope, just as much as your words present your hope. This good conversation can only be obtained when you live in Christ through salvation. It will be obtained when you live for Christ, and that's your priority of life. When you live like Christ and follow His steps and live in fellowship with Christ day to day, this is the purpose for your hope. To share it with others. To share it with others, as we've just seen, with the right confidence, with the right commitment, with the right content, the gospel itself, with the right character, with the right conduct. Can 1 Peter 3:15 be said about you tonight? Personalize that verse. Are you sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts? Are you committing your heart to Him every single day so that when opportunities afford themselves, you take them? Are you ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear? Can that be said of you? That is the purpose of our hope. And it's a great hope. It's in a great person. It's got this great power because of its Christ power, all these great properties. So how can you be ready? How can you be ready always? Well, you've got to study the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great passage to look at when you want to study the gospel. Look through the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at the words of Christ Himself there, and look at how this gospel has been presented by Him, and then share it. The best way to be ready is to just share it. We have many resources available that you can share your hope with. There's Gospels of John back there that you can take and pass out. There are gospel tracts that you can use. But never forget the purpose of your hope. We must do what we are called to do here in 1 Peter 3:15. To be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness of fear. Because that is the purpose of the hope that God has given you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this hope. It is a great hope. Our hope rests in a great person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope has great power for our everyday life as Christians. It gives us strength when we are weak. It gives us rest when we are weary. There are great properties with this hope. It's a lively hope, a better hope, a blessed hope, an everlasting hope. And now, Lord, help us to see that there's a purpose for this hope. Yes, there's a purpose for us. But, Lord, this purpose extends to others. Help us, Lord, to share this hope. It's such a great hope, it can't be just kept to ourselves. Father, I pray that as we go from this place, that you will prepare us and equip us to share the hope that you've given us with meekness and fear. This week, as we go to the Good News Clubs, Lord, I pray that you will help us to give a reason of the hope that is in us with those children. And many of those children who are believers, may they be able to go home prepared to share the reason of the hope that is in them with their families, their parents, their brothers and sisters, their friends. For those who are here in this room, Lord, I pray that we will have the courage and the confidence in you to go out and share this hope with our neighbors. Those are the ones closest to us. With the people that we come across in our everyday life. With friends, perhaps, Lord, or family members that need Christ. Oh, Lord, we live in a very hopeless society. We heard about that hopelessness even in the death of this young man that Phyllis mentioned earlier. Oh, Father, I pray that we will not be selfish with that hope that we possess. Yes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Oh, but Lord, we want others to have that hope in Christ as well. And so, Lord, help us to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.